Alrighty, good to be here. Thank you, Brother Al. I'm glad you were able to use your bad hand to lead the singing.
That was a bad hand, yeah.
If anyone wants to see the skeleton of his hand, he'll show you. It's on his phone. We're going to be in the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament today. And it's not really a Thanksgiving message, but Pastor Poehler has a very good message in the devotional for Wednesday night. And there's still some of them on the speaker over there. If you haven't picked one of those up, it's a great message. And then Mr. Poe will be speaking next week, and he may have a Thanksgiving message, but I kind of didn't do that this year. Last year, Pastor Poehler gave a message before he left, so I wasn't sure. But anyway, it's all working out good. We're going to be in the book of Malachi. We'll be in chapter 1. And I'll read those scriptures in just a moment. You know, in all the centuries since creation, the human heart has not changed. It always questions what God affirms. And God affirms that His love for us will always be constant and forever, and the believer will always be secure in His love. And God will not change. He is stable, and He will be our anchor. And that's the truth. But we sometimes question what God has affirmed. But if we accept and rest in this truth, we'll be a stable, steady Christian. But the people in the book of Malachi, who Malachi speaks to here, have begun to question God's love. In fact, they question Him about a lot of things, about what God was trying to do in their lives. Let me just give you the background here. The nation had been in captivity, but during Nehemiah and Ezra's day, they had returned to Jerusalem. They had rebuilt and refurbished the temple, and everything was going according to plan. Things had gotten smoother and easier. There was still some struggle, but it was not as bad. And that's the problem. The people were becoming bored and belligerent. And they began to question God, even question His love for them. And they become disgruntled and skeptical in their attitude, which is often typical of people who have it made or have it pretty good, like us. And the smoother things are in general, the more likely it is that we can become bored and belligerent. It just seems, I know it's true in my own life, and I've observed a lot of believers through the years. I think it's true in most people. We are most spiritual when we're under burdens. You know, that's the time we're on our knees. When things are going smooth, we seem to forget. We're not as sharp spiritually. We're not as in tune with the Lord. And that's what we're seeing here in this last book of the Old Testament. God communicates through Malachi, then He's silent for 400 years. And then the New Testament begins. That's a long period of time, by the way. You could fit the whole United States history in that period of time and then have some time left. So it's a long time. And when somebody, the last thing that someone says is usually pretty significant. You know, the last thing a person says on their dying bed, usually pretty significant. And so all scripture is significant, but this is especially significant. And I want to read the first five verses in Malachi chapter 1. It says, "The burden of the Lord, word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Eden saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for this message that we have in Malachi that was given by Malachi to your people back then, but it's given to us too. The Bible's a fresh book that everything in it applies to us, and therefore there are some lessons that we can get here today, and just help our hearts to be open. If there be one here that's never trusted you as their Savior, the Bible way, I pray this would be the day they would make that most important decision that they'll ever make, to trust you as their personal Savior and be able to leave this place as your child today. And Lord, if there be other needs that need to be met today, spiritual needs, I pray that those would be met too, and that each and every one of us might be able to leave this place today rejoicing in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I did put an outline in the bulletin. I like to do that when I give a message so you can see where I'm coming and going. And the first point there, it talks about the messenger, and that's Malachi. He's very bold. You'll notice that about him. He would have to be to proclaim a message that he was given here by the Lord. Probably a very vigorous and strong personality would have been necessary to do this kind of preaching, and I think Malachi probably fits that bill. He was a very spiritually mature person with a great awareness and a sensitivity to sin, and he has to confront the people because of their laxness. In fact, if you read through Malachi, you're going to see, you know, 7 or 8 things that he talks to them about, and that's why this is such a great book in the Bible, because we often have the same struggles spiritually today. He had to confront the people because of their indifference to the love of God. We're going to look at that the most today. Their neglect of temple service, a corrupt priesthood. He talks about mixed marriages and with the lost and rampant divorces. He talks about a decline in religious fervor followed by moral decline. He talks about sorcery and adultery and false witnessing. And those were common things in that day. He talks about the laborer and the fatherless and the widow being oppressed. He talks about them withholding the tithe, which belonged to God right up front. And these are things, you know, if you think about them, these are things that we still struggle with today. And that's why this message applies to us today. So he had to confront the people, but he also had to confront the religious leadership. And as soon as he started doing that, the slander and the rumor mills would start, because his message is a message of rebuke and condemnation. And the same spirit that was exhibited in these people developed later in the sects called the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament, which wasn't a very good spirit. They were actually the enemies of Jesus. And so we note here the moral and spiritual conditions of Israel in Malachi's day are very similar to ours. And that's why it's important to have some bold preaching in our day. We need to be challenged to live for God. We need to be warned about sin and its consequences. You know, that's one of the reasons a number of years ago we started coming here, my wife and I, as Pastor Poehler preaches God's Word. He challenges us from God's Word. And that's important in our day. And that's how we as believers can grow spiritually over a period of time. I know I'm stronger spiritually, and I know more now than I did 8 years ago when I came. You know, some religious groups 8 years ago, you're about the same today, because you're not getting God's word like we need to be getting it. And Malachi here, he's bold, and he has a burden, and he got his burden from the Lord's word, the Bible says here. The message weighs heavily on his heart. You know, a person who is sensitive to sin and who understands that God says what he means and means what he says is troubled when they are faced with the delivering of correction and warning. A lot of other messages are easier to give. And that, you know, as a pastor myself and preaching through the years, there are some messages that are difficult to give. There are some messages that you don't necessarily like to give. And then there are other messages, you know, they're easy to deliver and it's a joy to deliver. And, you know, when they're not on the on a topic like this where you have to confront with the word, this is what Malachi's doing here and delivering this message. He's burdened when he hears of the struggles and the problems that the people are having, especially when he knows that they're having those problems because of their rejection of doing things God's way. Nehemiah writes pretty much the same thing. In Nehemiah 1:4, it says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And why did he say that? Well, the condition of God's people and the consideration of why they are in such a mess. See, God revealed to Malachi the true condition of the people, and it's not a pretty picture. And his heart is very heavy, the Bible says. These are his people. These are God's people, and he must warn them. And Malachi is the one that God chooses to do that. And hopefully, the people get the burden as they hear the word of God. See, Malachi gets the burden from the word of God. Malachi passes that on to the people, and the hope is that they get the burden. Transfer the burden from God to Malachi to the people, and that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to stir them up. Here's the question we should ask ourselves here. Are we burdened by the word of the Lord? Because that's what did it for Malachi. It was the word of the Lord. Are we burdened for the word of the Lord? Are we burdened by the word of the Lord? Does it stir us? Well, how does that apply today? Well, are we burdened for the lost? Are we burdened for the backslider that we know of? Are we burdened for our society? I hope so. Are we praying for our leaders? I hope we're doing that on a regular basis. They sure need it. Are our hearts heavy at times when loved ones and friends are so far from God? I see it in our prayer time, especially because we, you know, some of you, you're burdened for your loved ones, and you bring up prayer requests, and sometimes with tears. Yeah, that's it, man. That's the way it's supposed to be with us. We're to be burdened for people, whether it be friends, family, or even our enemies. We're to have a burden for them. Our hearts should be burdened enough to exhort them and exhort one another to follow the Lord. And here's the key. If we want to have burdens for the right thing, we must allow the Scripture to saturate our hearts and minds, because the burden, Malachi says, the burden of the word of the Lord. So that's the first thing I want you to see here, the messenger here. He's bold, and he's burdened. And then we continue here. Look in verse 2 through 4 here. I'll read them again. It says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage to waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, They shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. So he speaks here of two groups of people. He speaks of both saved people, or God's people, and unsaved people. And you know, both groups misunderstand God many times. It speaks of Jacob's misconception here, and when we say Jacob, it's talking about Israel. And this is the main point of the message. They doubted God's love. God affirms his love for them, but they question it in verse 2. He's made it very clear that his love is for his people, and it is a constant thing that's never going to change. He's made it clear that he is unchangeable in his love for us. And he loves us this way. Even your sin can't change his love for you. He loves you just as much. Even when you sin, he doesn't like your sin, and he wants us to repent and get things right with him. But even when we sin, his love doesn't change. And he wants his people then and now to know that. And you know what? You know, sometimes we do doubt his love, and as believers, it's almost blasphemous, and certainly is disrespectful to question the love of God for us, especially in light of the what? The cross. Especially in light of the cross, and to think that God doesn't love us or God doesn't care about us when he does. And he makes it very clear in the scripture that's never, ever going to change. And he made it clear in Malachi's day, and yet they doubted him. There's a great song. If Pastor Poehler was here, he could sing this for you, and I'm just going to read the words. I'm going to read a couple of the stanzas, and probably some of you have heard this song, but I just love it. I like Holy, 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 too. We sang that last week to begin our service. You know, I could sing Holy, Holy, Holy to begin every service. It just gets you in the right mindset, you know, to worship God and to, you know, focus on the things of God. And this is another song. I'm going to read these verses to you, and you'll get the idea. And by the way, this was written by a person on the wall of an insane asylum. They don't even know who it was. And a guy by the name of F.H. Lehman found it. He wrote it down and then wrote a song. Listen to this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And you get the idea how magnificent and immense the love of God is. And when we think about Jesus Christ, how he chose us in grace, he died in our place, he drew us to himself, and he promises to keep us safe and secure forever, evermore. And he wants us to believe him in times of hardship. He wants us to believe that in times of pressure and even in good times. And that's where we have trouble sometimes. That's where Malachi's people had trouble, even in good times. He wants us to remember his love for us. Israel had forgotten all that God had done for them. He had chosen them to be the medium for his special blessing. He has stood firm with them through a sometimes stormy history. Sometimes he demonstrated a tough love as he warned them and chastened them. Sometimes he demonstrates a tender love when they express joyful obedience. Israel as a nation has been preserved and protected throughout history. No nation has gone through the hardships that the Jew has experienced and survived. Assyrians and Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans have come and gone. And then you think of the Holocaust and that what has happened to the Jew. And yet today, They still have their language. They still have their culture preserved. They have not been absorbed into other nations and have disappeared like many nations have in history. You know, the same is true of the church today. Look in Matthew chapter 16. The church and Israel are two different things, but there are similar things about them. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When it comes to a struggle concerning God's love, don't look at circumstances. Look at the unchangeable character of God. And that's what Malachi is trying to get across to these people. His love is unchangeable, period. And when we doubt or question God's love, then we don't return love back to him like he wants in faithful obedience. Then we become disgruntled and skeptical and belligerent and even bored. And that's what's happening here in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi is delivering this message to Jacob or Israel, but it's also to us. So the misconception by Israel, Jacob's people, is that God didn't love them anymore. They couldn't see God's love at work in their lives. But it mentions Edom here. And they have a misconception too, as I've read there in verses 2 through 4. They didn't doubt God's love, they doubted God's sovereignty. They thought they could undo God's judgment. Look in verse 4 again, I guess. I better read that. "Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness and the border against whom the Lord hath indignation forever." They thought they could undo God's judgment. They thought they could set their own rules. They thought they could rebuild what God had determined to destroy. You know, there's a lot of places in Scripture we see that happening. Puny little man shaking his fist in God's face, and God just blows them away like dust. And even today, man still doesn't grasp the fact that God is sovereign. Our society is exactly like I've described here. You know, all over the world, man just doing their own thing, building their own powers, and thinking that God has nothing to do with life, and God will never call them to account. And they don't even believe there's a God. And that's a great misconception. Not grasping the fact that God is sovereign today. You know, he's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. Look in, I'll read verse 2 of chapter 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He wants all mankind to come to repentance and be saved. He gives all mankind that choice. And yet many, many people will choose to reject him because they think they're in control of their own lives. They think they can build their own lives. But man cannot undo God's decisions and his plans, his sovereign plans. They can't set their own rules for life like some seem to think they can. And just as in Malachi's day, we have a society that is turned away from God, but rest assured that just as in Malachi's day, God will reveal himself in his love and in his mercy and his sovereignty, in his justice, in his wrath, and it'll be in his good time. You know, sometimes God displays a tough love, and sometimes he displays tender love, but he displays it, and he's sovereign, and things will happen according to his plan. He makes the statement that he loves Jacob and that he hates this Esau. Look in verse 3 there. It says, "And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage to waste for the dragons of the wilderness." And then he says he loves Jacob. You know that word hate there, we have to understand this because a lot of people will take this scripture and say that in eternity past, God made the decision for people. Like there's no free will today for us to make the decision. And God's already made that decision, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you do, you're either going to be saved or unsaved based on God picking you and not and others not being picked. And that's just a man-made teaching. Let me just explain a little something here for you. Hate here in this verb, in this word, in the Hebrew thinking, is not a word of emotion. It's a word of choice by God's sovereign will. If a man had two sons and he made one the heir and he is said to love the one that he had made the heir, and then it said he's to hate the one that he did not make heir. So what it's talking about there is choice. He made a choice. It has nothing to do with emotion. He doesn't hate people before they're even born. God, he loves all people. I already read the verse that he's not willing that any should perish. And if God's sovereign and he's not willing that any should perish, and he made the choice for you, everybody would be saved. He is sovereign, and he's sovereign enough to make a plan of salvation where he's given us a free will to choose him or to reject him, and some of us have chosen him. Probably most or all of us here today have made our choice to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And yet there could be one, maybe, I don't know, but there are a lot of people outside of these walls, they've made the decision to reject him. They're not going to accept him as their personal Savior. They had the same opportunity as the person that did accept him. And so it's not a word of emotion here like it would be in our day. When I use the word hate, it's kind of a word of emotion. But in the Hebrew thinking, it was a word of choice, just a choice. The Lord's people here will witness the futile attempts by Edom to make its own restoration. They'll see God's sovereignty. They'll see God's justice at work. And the reason that he didn't work with Edom and he was planning on destroying Edom and what they built was because they had chosen to reject God. Not because God chose them to do it and without their choice. It was Edom's choice to reject God and to actually oppose God's people. But God's people are going to see it, they're going to acknowledge it, and they're going to acknowledge that God is great in the land. His acts of power will get their attention, and he'll be magnified and honored, the Lord will, in their sight. They'll become aware of his unchangeable love for them. See, God had set them apart for his special attention and blessing. And Malachi's trying to show them this. They'd forgotten it. They had become bored with the things of God, and they had become belligerent because things had smoothed out a little bit after the rebuilding of the temple. And then the lost people here, and again, they're lost by choice. They're called the border of wickedness. Israel's called the Holy Land. It says in those verses I've read here that they will make attempts to resist and undo God's judgment. But do you think they'll succeed? They're not going to succeed. They're going to fail. It's a serious and futile exercise to oppose God. You know, we have the same thing today. The very same picture today. There are some people that are saved. There are some people that are lost. God wants to reach us all. And he'll do all kinds of things to get our attention, but there's still going to be, actually, the biggest majority of people, the Bible says, are going to reject what God has for them. They're going to reject salvation. Some of them will be very good people, and they might even be religious people. They might even go through works of religion and so forth that have nothing to do with the gospel, thinking that's how to appease and please God. And yet the Bible says the only way to please God is to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. There's a big difference. And so we have the same picture today. He's still not willing that any should perish, but some by choice will die without Christ and perish. God will exercise his sovereign judgment, and man will be shown that he doesn't really set the rules, and that's how it's all going to play out. And to his own believers, the Bible says he will forever love them and bless them, even with a peace that passeth all understanding. To his own, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, all because he loves us. Hey, it's possible today, and that's why these Old Testament books are valuable. It's possible, even in our group today, even with believers. You may be struggling today. You may not feel loved. You may feel like God's off in a distance and he doesn't really care. And we talked about widows in the Sunday school class, how it's very easy for a widow in her bereavement to become bitter, blame God. But as I mentioned in Sunday school, God's not the reason for death. Man is. It's because of our sin people die. Sin entered the human race. She could have been bitter because of her frail condition. She was an elderly person that couldn't do what she used to do. Well, she had her attitude fixed on the Lord, and even though she couldn't do what she used to do, she found new things to do. She became a prayer warrior. She became a worshiper, a steady worshiper of God. And then she could have become bitter in her finances because widows back in that day, they were in pretty big trouble. Especially if they didn't have children, they had to find a way to fend for themselves. And they usually had to work hard, maybe gleaning in a field. They made little money with hard work, and that could have made her bitter. But Anna didn't become bitter. She became better, and she just kept her focus on the Lord, looking for the Lord's return. And all because she understood that God loved her and hadn't forgotten her. And so, you know, if you're in one of those situations today, let me assure you from God's word, he still loves you. He's not finished with you. He's got lots to do in your life. And if you doubt that, you're right in the same camp of these people in that Malachi's day that God gave Malachi a strong, confronting message of warning for. See, God reminds his people through Malachi that he loves them. They had begun to question that, and as a result, they could not love God back. See, it throws a monkey wrench into everything, your relationship with him. If you doubt his love, you're not going to love him back in faithful obedience. They couldn't express their love in faithful obedience because they were so disgruntled and belligerent and bored with spiritual things. But God affirms his love over and over, and they question it. And they were in a tailspin. They became disgruntled and skeptical and bored and belligerent. I'm going to close with this. Let's just look at it this way. We're not going to have a closing hymn because we don't have someone to play the piano. And I can't sing a solo. So I'm going to read a couple of verses in the hymn that I'd picked. And that's the most important part of the hymn anyway, the words. But here's, let's look at it this way. If you have invited Jesus to be your personal Savior, then you are locked into the eternal purpose of God Almighty. When you exercised your free will and invited Jesus to be your Savior, you became the beneficiary of God's love forever. His love will never change. It will never stop. Sometimes he may have to exercise tough love toward us, And then other times he will exercise tender love when we show him faithful obedience. And whenever you waver and think the think of the unchangeable character of God. And let me close with this. When you are tempted to question his love, you know what is a good idea? What do you think? What's a good thing to do when we question God's love? Look at the what? The cross. Look at the cross. Think about the cross. Meditate, you know, on the cross, what he did for us on Calvary's cross. Hey, if that doesn't convince us how much God loves us, I don't know what it'll take. But it'll work if we allow God to work in our hearts. Think of the cross when we question God's love. And any one of us can struggle with that sometimes. I'm going to close with some words here. It's hymn number 243, I believe. The cross. It's about the cross. Now, Pastor Poehler could sing this to us because he's a good singer. He doesn't need an instrument to sing by. See, I need an instrument to kind of hide my voice a little bit. I like to sing. And I sing from my heart. I like to sing and I like the song service, but I'm not a great singer. Room at the cross. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is the fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And then the last verse, the hand of the Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And when we talk about the cross, initially we come for salvation. If you haven't done that at any point in your life, this is a good place to start. You come and you only have to do that one time. Once you're his child, you're his forever. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin. Remember, I mentioned sometimes he uses tough love, sometimes tender love in our lives. And then after we're saved, the initial salvation, then it's, you know, we come to the cross maybe many times. Not for salvation, but restoration. You know, we get things right with the Lord. We might be a child of God that's out of fellowship with him because of something in our life. Well, we can get that corrected in an instant. Because remember, even in our sin, he loves us. And that's never, ever going to change. So that's the main part of the message today, the love of God. Malachi's people rejected it. It caused them to be belligerent and bored, skeptical, bad attitude, and Malachi challenges them, reminds them of all that God had done for his people, all that God's going to do to the lost people that rejected God's people and became their enemies. And that's the message that Malachi had. And again, it fits today. You know, a lot of the same problems, spiritual problems, exist in the church today. You know, struggles. We all have them. None of us have arrived. And so I'm going to close on that note. I'm going to ask Brother Al if you'll close us and dismiss us with a word of prayer, please.
Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the day.
anyone who is at this service, who came here today, hear and study from your word. We ask now that you go with us, be with our pastor and family until they return with us. Go with each one of us as we travel from here, bring us back tonight and each time that the services are held here. May we go in peace and remember the Savior who gave his life for us. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.